For the word. Praise God. This is Sunday morning. This is December the 15th, 2000, and it seems like it ought to be 15, but it's already 19, 2019. We're going to have a teaching today called Free from the Care Bear Snare, Being About the Master's Business. Now, women would probably appreciate that. Most men probably don't know about the Care Bears, don't care about the Care Bears, but it was a line of little bears that came out, and it was just, you know, kind of like on our Kleenex boxes now, it says take care. You know, the devil is about trying to trap us and get us into care. If I need to repeat the title, Free from the Care Bear Snare, Being About the Master's Business. I would think and say today that probably the biggest thing, especially in the body of Christ today and the world, is care. Care. Care is a snare. It is a tool of Satan to keep you from going anywhere. There's people that barricade themselves in their houses, afraid to walk out the door or do anything because of what's coming on the world. I mean, Scripture says men's hearts failing them for fear of what's coming on the earth. That's fear. Fear. If you don't believe it, just turn on the TV, listen to all the commercials, get on YouTube, listen to all the experts. You know, I won't listen to it. I don't care how bad it is. I'm not going to listen to all this gloom and doom. We don't got no hope type of message. That's Satan's narrative. Okay. Luke chapter 2. We're going to focus in this morning is being about the Master's business. What would keep us from being about the Master's business? Luke chapter 2. The Lord wants us to come up higher. He wants us to have a new mentality. People get into their modes and they've done business 50 years the same old way or whatever. We got to get out of that kind of thinking. The same old, dog eat dog. We got to have a new mindset. Well, two left. There's one. Hold on. There it is, down at the bottom. Luke 2:41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Talk about Jesus here. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they saw him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father, I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Knew ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. I'd have to say today, for those who are the ones that are completely sold out, that they absolutely and totally are misunderstood. Just this week I had a conversation, and there was kind of a joke said by one family member to another, saying, well, I don't have 3 months for Nana to pray. I thought, oh, really? You don't have 3 months for Nana to pray? See, they're learning. I'm training my family that when the Lord says, I can do something, I can do something. When he says, I can't, I can't. And they don't understand any more than Mary and Joseph understood, and she got on to him because what... what business of you treating us this way? And he's going, duh. What would make you think I wouldn't be about my Father's business? For this reason I was called. It's written in the volume of the book of me. I come to do thy will. Well, we know he went home with his parents. And he was subject to them until he was older, more mature. But even at that young age, he knew what he was called to do. Father's business became top priority in his life. It overrode family relationships. It overrode the things that people try to do to pull on you to get you to not do Father's will, even if it means ridicule. I said, Lord, you know, they don't understand. They don't understand. But that don't make any difference to me. Like it or not, this is the way it is. Joke all you want. But this is the way it's going to be from here on out. I can't just go make a mess of my life like you. I got to listen to God. And you know what? When you listen to God, you don't make any messes in your life. You can't just go do what you want to do anymore. We live in a dangerous world. We're in a civil war, and it's not between Democrats and Republicans. It's against Satan and the kingdom of light. We live in serious days. People don't understand that there's been a war of the planet, or whatever this place is. There's been a war. It's been going on for a long time. And it's a serious time. People are making up their minds right now. They're making choices on where they're going to spend eternity. Not if they're going to have a summer home. Where they're going to spend eternity. It bypasses all this superficial stuff and it gets down to where are you going to spend eternity. I don't know if you noticed a couple of days ago, we had a defection in the Democratic Party. Congressman Jeff Van Drew from New Jersey met with the president and said, he's one of those that's been standing against the impeachment. There's been two Democrats that have. He said, I want to join the Republican Party. So he was in meetings with the president to switch party lines. I said, Lord, let it be the whole stinking mess of them to where the House doesn't even have the votes now to even bring this ridiculous demonic assignment against the president. The Unity Party, been speaking it for several years now. The Unity Party. There is no Democrat or Republican anymore. Only the Unity Party. Do you see how important what we're doing? It's my desire that my family get a hold of this. This is the importance of what we're doing. Sitting in our chairs in the morning praying and decreeing and speaking and changing the scenery. Changing the narrative. It's the most important place for a Christian on earth right now. You see others on TV and they're talking about we need to get radical and we need to do these things. I'm not against that. If that's what God's told them to do, you know, get radical. Do your part. But as a Christian, with authority in the earth, this is the single most important thing that we can do is to be about the Master's business. And for us, he's told us to get in our third heaven authority and to begin to decree and speak what we want. Okay, even at 12 years old, Jesus was kingdom business minded. This is the mindset we must also have to operate in the kingdom. Now we're passing, we're on a bridge right now, passing from the end of the church age over to the kingdom age. How long this age will be, I don't know, or this bridge, this passing over will be. Where we're headed, we got to get a big old tugboat turned around, going the other direction. How long will that take? I don't know. How long do we have? I don't know. Moses had 120 years. I don't know. I really don't. But it's a big assignment. Okay, 2020. We must have 2020 insight. Just because God says doesn't mean it will be. We have to get a hold of it and embrace it and run with it. This is Habakkuk 2:2. A lot of people think, well, God said it and that prophet said it. It didn't come to pass, so they're a false prophet. No, they're not. It's because you're used to sitting on your, you know what, and just saying, well, wait, if it'll be, you know, whatever. No. God, it's a possibility. God proclaims his message through the prophets. The people get a hold of the vision and they run with it. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Sometimes I think, Lord, if the church had gotten themselves together, we could have been out of here a long time ago. The Lord threw it back in my lap. He said, I'm waiting on you. You're not waiting on me. I'm waiting for the church to occupy. I'm waiting for my church to get busy and do what I told them to do. And when they go and do what I tell them to do, then I can come. But if they tarry and they wait, then I have to tarry and wait. You know, anytime you say, Lord, why? He'll say, look in the mirror. He puts it right back in our life, in our lap. He told us to occupy. He laid it down in Genesis 1. It hadn't changed. The vision for 2020, the manifestation of the kingdom age, the manifestation of the sons of God. We are such a petitioning bunch of people, Lord said to me. But the Lord says we must become a listening bunch of people. Now get a hold of this. Go about our business. Lord, help me today. I have this to do and that to do and that to do and that to do. I need your grace. I need this. I need this. I need this. Help me with this. Help me with that. Blah, 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 blah. This is what goes on day in, day out. Day in, day out. Instead of that, this is what the Lord says. Father, I do need your grace today. But I already have this and I have that. What would be the proper thing to say? Father, what can I do for you today? What can I do for you today instead of all my list that I run through every day? Asking you for this and asking you for that. Petitioning you for anything and everything, everybody and everything. Lord, what would you have me to do today? He might have you go to one person that day, and that was his business for you that day. You know, we're so religious-minded. We all get that way. I figure that Jesus did more listening than he did any kind of praying. He went to a quiet place. When it was so busy around him, he found a place, if he even had to pray all night, to be ready for the next day. He'd forego sleep. He'd get before the Lord, and the Lord would say, well, today you must needs go through Samaria. There's a woman there I want you to see. But no, we got to be busy. Let's live. We got to give out at least 1,000 tracts today, and we got to do this and got to do that, and it's just, Christian programming. It doesn't matter 9,000 or 999 of them, throw them in the trash. But the one that God sends you to, you're empowered to help. Instant in season, out of season. They're ripe for the picking. The Holy Spirit is leading them, drawing them, and you have the word for them. That's the way the kingdom is. It's not just about being busy, about churchy stuff. Can you see the difference? One is riddled with self-care. I got to cover all my bases. Why do we feel that way? Because we're not secure, evidently. Self-care, self-importance causes the kingdom to be ushered to the back of the bus. Well, I got to say all this stuff today, you know, or I'm going to, you know, I got my, kind of like Charles Capps would say, it's like praying the rosary. These are all my confessions. These are all the things I do. I've done it for 40 years and I'm not about to stop now. You know, if we get into those kind of modes, we'll hang out and we'll miss opportunities. I've noticed lately the Lord's kind of been, just in a few occasions, caused me to kind of upturn my apple cart to where I'm forced to deal with some things and do some things I don't want to do, but He's in them. Trying to get you, you know, because when you've been in isolation mode for so long, then He's trying to pull you out of that isolation and now get you up where you're getting out more and doing stuff. It's kind of hard on you. You have to go from one mindset to the other. All right, Matthew 6. Do you know that He already knows everything that you need even before you ask? I mean, He lives in you. There's not one thing going on with you that He does not know about. And usually, when you get quiet before Him, He'll let you in on what's going on. Show you what to do. Instead of, well, I better read for an hour and confess. Then I better, you know, pray in tongues for an hour. Do you think Spirit-filled people don't get into ruts and get into the flesh just doing stuff? If you're praying in tongues hours and hours and praying in the Spirit for hours and hours, well, I always thought that was good, and I do believe it's good, but on the other side of that, if you're doing it to get something, thinking that's how I'm going to get it, the truth is you already got it. Everything, He's been made into you wisdom. You're complete in Him. So everything you need is right here. And if you're focused on His business, thinking, Father's already taken care of it. I'm in Father's house. The ring, the robe, the fatted calf, the party. This is Father's house, okay? With that kind of mentality, I don't need anything. It's been hard this year. Anybody ask me something I'd like for Christmas or birthday? I can't think of anything. I'm blessed. So I guess you need to ask the Holy Spirit. He knows. When you walk in life like that, just, I don't like or want for anything. When you get to that place in your life, you're not asking the Father for anything. All you're saying, Father, what can I do for You? You're the best. You're the best. What can I do for You? That's all I care about. That's all Jesus cared about. He wasn't trying to be disrespectful to His parents. But what Father wanted done is what drove Him. That's all He cared about. That was His aim and purpose of being born in the first place, was to do Father's will. And that's what He did. And He rankled feathers. People didn't understand. He wasn't like the religious people. He didn't condemn people. He didn't point fingers, you wicked sinner, get your life together, go pay your tithes, go do all this stuff. He didn't have that attitude. It said He went about doing good. Healing. All that were oppressed of the devil, whatever situation that the devil came, stealing, killing, or destroying. Matthew 6, 24. Free from the care, bear, snare. Being about the Master's business, a carefree person can get their focus off of themselves and onto Master's business. See, it's a mindset. If you're so riddled with care, You have to barricade yourself in and have your hours of your stuff to try to get yourself taken care of. Father doesn't want it that way. Casting care? Have we forgotten about that? Casting care? Think about fishing. Cast it. All right, 24. No, that wasn't right. 6:24. All right. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So Satan has gotten the whole world into the care bear snare. It's all about self-care. If you think it isn't, watch his narrative. You can barely sit down on Sunday afternoon and watch a movie, even on Hallmark or, say, the Up Channel, that it isn't mainly geriatric commercials about walk-in tubs and I'm falling, I can't get up. And just a constant reminder of Satan's little aids to help you care for yourself. Constant. It's just, it's horrible. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food and the body than raiment? See, they're all caught up about everything, their diet. Oh, well, the doctor says I can't have these things. I have to go somewhere where I can have that. Or they don't have that there, I can't go there. Fair, 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 fair. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? All those lists that you go down and you're fretting about, is it going to change anything? No. And why are you anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. See, the whole world's caught up in it. Satan, as the god of this world, has seen to it. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, is its own evil. I remember Joyce Meyer teaching a series about not dreading the dread. Dread is fear. Do you know that? Oh, I dread that. Oh, I hate that. Lord doesn't want us dreading. That's when you call for grace, and grace kicks in to help you do what you don't like to do. Kind of a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. God does that. He doesn't want us to be anxious. This is the care bear bunch. Father, accommodate me. Father saying, no, accommodate me. Accommodate me. Put me first. Put what I want done first. Be willing to be indisposed. We're going to read a little bit later where Jesus, you know, his disciples were just trying to get away to a private place just to have some time to themselves and something to eat. And the people came and he had compassion on them. Then he says they were all hungry because they'd been out there 3 days and hadn't had anything to eat. How many times do we forgo a miracle because we refuse? Jesus went ahead and ministered to him, had compassion on him, and then the multitude were fed with the little loaves and the fish. How many miracles could we possibly have happening in our lives if we weren't so, well, you know, I don't like to be out after that hour, or, no. Our excuses, our little routines, our little comfort zones that we think we have to be in and stay in. How we feel, and I'm trying to gear myself up to 4,000 people, thinking, how much pulling would there be on someone? How many pulled on Jesus everywhere he went? When a person of faith touched him, he knew it, though. When he knew people were just pulling on him to get something out of him. I know people don't mean to, but pretty well most of the people that I'm around, when I get around, you try to impart things to them and help them. But it's mainly about just pulling on you to get whatever they can or whatever, That's what it's all about. It's all about them. Very few have I ever met that are so hungry for the things of God, they just pull it out of me. I've had that happen before. It's been very few and far between. That they just, bam, when Jesus came, man, there's a few of them just pulled the fire out of him. They got their answer too. Others said, you're just here for the food. He fed them. But then they showed up everywhere he went with their hand out. Got a lot of them. A lot of them just looking for a handout. Not looking to be better. Not looking to grow in the kingdom. Not looking to seek God, but just to get a handout. All right. Seek ye first the kingdom, and then all your stuff will be added, is what it says. If you'll cast the care and say, Father, you take care of me. I'm not concerned about a thing. I'm just about your business. What would you have me do? Then you look up and whatever might have been there that you needed, it's supplied. See, by putting the cart before the horse, we limit our provision, our blessings from God, just by our thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're riddled with care, well, that's going to be a snare. It's going to show itself. Okay, 1 Peter 5, talking about casting care. We have to get to the place that when we feel that thing trying to come on us, the snare bear care, the cute little snare bear, cute little Care Bear, little pink Care Bear with the little heart on it. Oh, that's so sweet. Can be deadly. I mean, even all our children's toys and everything. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do you humble yourselves? Get yourself off your mind. Bow to Father's will. Father, your will be done. He already knows what you need. It's not wrong to petition the Father for things. I'm not saying that today, but I think there's a whole lot of petitioning and not a lot of listening. Most keep themselves busy petitioning or asking others to pray for them or calling up prayer lines to pray for them for every little thing. This is the way the church has been. It started in the charismatic movement, from what I can understand. People just, it's like ministries had 24-hour prayer lines, and people just got to where they were, during the charismatic movement, if you don't have some word grounding in a spiritual move like that, they get flighty. And it becomes all about getting my needs met, calling the prayer lines and getting my miracle. And there's nothing wrong with miracles. Everybody wants a miracle. But you can't have the spiritual without the grounding of the Word. You're going to get some, we're going to be lopsided. Okay. We keep going. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How much care? How much care?
All.
All. All. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. How is he able to devour us? Care. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. In other words, resist care. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the whole world. Right here, on down. It says here, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He wants us to live where we are in constant expectation of Father's care. That we don't care ourselves. We've cast it all on him. And so because we have kept ourselves carefree, kingdom can flow. God is not holding out on anybody today. But if we are so riddled with care, we block our blessings. We block the flow. You remember the word last week about the kingdom language? What's the kingdom language? Thanksgiving, praise. The Lord said this will keep the kingdom flowing and the kingdom ways open. He has no shut doors. Go read Revelation. Even heaven's not going to have the gate shut. So God has an open door. We can come up hither anytime we want. In fact, we're supposed to stay there. So what would keep us from doing that? The care bear snare. It keeps us from being about his business. It keeps us from being heavenly minded. We get to being earthly minded. The whole world's crying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they've got the devil after them saying, putting pressure on them. And David entered his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. This is Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Does a shepherd take care of the sheep? Psalms 23. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. So he's talking about how you enter into his presence. It's not with griping. I need, I want, I feel. What are you going to do about this, Lord? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? Like a bratty kid in a grocery store. Have you ever seen them? They throw their big fits and wall-eyes right there in front of everybody because mama won't let them have everything they touch and they feel and they see on the shelf. God don't love me. You're mean. I heard that one too. You're mean. Okay, look at the mindset here. Not a care bear snare here. This is how Jesus walked. He wasn't any care about himself. Father worked that out of him in the backside of the desert before he turned him loose. Now you know why you're where you're at. Father can't turn you loose till you have worked through some things and he can trust you. He'll give you little things to do and see how you do. But Sometimes you have some failures and sometimes you have some successes. That's how you learn. Isn't that how you grow naturally? You know, you try some things. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be diligent in season out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's where we live today. If you hadn't noticed, the bill of goods we've been sold since the time we were born, learned it in school and everywhere else, is a bunch of science, falsely so-called, or fables. Whenever you bring the truth, that's why they couldn't accept Jesus, because he was bringing the truths of the kingdom, the nuggets of the kingdom of God, and they were going, whoa! Okay, they couldn't take it. Are you approachable? Or are you so set in your ways that no one can interrupt you? What you have to do is more important than anything else. Do you have time for people? Think about it. There is a bunch that the Lord will chew. There's a bunch that the Lord's going to chew out for this very thing. He makes known his sore displeasure with this bunch. This is Matthew chapter 25. He's bringing the church out of being introvert, country club religion. We come to meet together to get our needs met, to run around the church and do our hooping and our hollering and having our ha-ha dramas and all this stuff. All our little us four, no more mentality. I've heard people say that before. Well, I don't want the church to grow. I like it the way it is. God is bringing us out of this type of attitude into being dispersed. You know, in the book of Acts, they got into trouble when they started conglomerating and they quit being dispersing. He told them, go into all the nations, and they were hanging out in Jerusalem. Persecution came. Isn't that what's been happening? Persecution started. And it started getting people like the cotton out of the nest. In other words, the thorns started pricking them in the rear. They started feeling uncomfortable, started seeing things they didn't like, and it got them stirred up and woke up, and they began to do things. They began to go out, quit being complacent. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and fed thee, and or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Maybe at times we may be entertaining angels unaware and not. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me. Remember here, the virgins were here at the beginning of this parable. The virgins. Five were foolish, five were wise, five took extra oil. They had enough to give out and help others. The others didn't. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not for one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So this is about being about the master's business or not being about the master's business. For God to love the world, God's about people. That's all he's about, people. How about you? The Lord knows we have stuff to do, etc. But we must have this inner placement that we can be interrupted at any time with one of the least of these. I mean, it might not happen but once a week or once a month. But being tuned in enough to say, okay, Lord, I want to be about your business today. If you have something for me to do, don't let me miss this opportunity. I don't want to miss it. Luke 10. And I think a lot of times it's part of our training. The Lord says, well, you've done well. I'm going to promote you. You're getting it. You're starting to see it. You're starting to hear me, and you're starting to follow me, and you're starting to obey me. I can trust you now in some areas. Luke 10. People understand, well, the Lord don't ever do nothing like that for me. But they never do get into, they don't ever get into out of give me, give me, give me mode into give, 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 give mode. Give yourself to others. Give of yourself to others. He can't help the bunch that all they're about is what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear, and that's all they live for. Luke 10:25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Do you know that's the reason for prosperity? Like I said, I became very disillusioned with the word of faith because it was like it's always just been about. I can remember the day that Danny and I were eating in a restaurant, and I said, when are we going to start doing something for somebody else instead of just buying more motorcycles or more cars or more this or more that? See, wealth is distributed to us, not just for us to have things. That'll come. It can't help but come. That's the kingdom way. But it's about distributing as the Lord leads you. If he leads you someone that's something's happened, the Lord says you help them, then you help them. And on the next day when he departed, he took two denarii and gave them to the host and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. You know what's touched most of the people that are turning around today in our society, especially the black community? Someone finally said they would do something, and they followed through with it. Donald Trump has done more for the black community probably than any other group. And they are following him. They love him. There's massive movements. He cares about people. Somebody dies in their family, he calls them. This is the type of man that God chose. See, he's doing good. The Pharisees can't stand it. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that sowed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now I'm saying every hard luck case you come across, God's going to require you to do something. But God does bring people across our path. He puts people on our hearts. And when he does, that's whenever we do his business. We take care of it. We do what he asked us to do. Not everybody and their dog. I'm not about on the street corner just handing out tracts to anybody and everybody. I'm not. Those tracts cost money. And why should I go buy them and just give them out to people that are going to just go right down the street and throw it in the trash can? The Holy Spirit leads. He draws people to repentance. When he starts drawing somebody, he'll set up a divine appointment for them. We just got to be ready for those. For God so loved the world, we are in his majesty's service, and he is about helping people. Whatever we have to do, we must always have this priority that at a moment's notice, we're willing to drop what we are doing to do what he is requiring of us to do. Well, Lord, when I'm done doing all this stuff, I'll start doing your business. That's usually the case. Well, I can't. You know, I got to air lily, whatever, or I've got all these excuses why I can't do what you want me to do right now. And we're going to look at that. This is Luke 9:59. And it came to pass that as they went on the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What this says to me is, Jesus did not have those routines, his little comfort zones. He didn't have a place to lay his head. In other words, he was not set. He was on 24/7 call to move wherever he needed to move, sleep wherever he needed to sleep. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. And he said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell who are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Families don't understand this. They're so used to Nana and Poppy being there for everything at a beck and call. And then when they don't, they're made to feel like, you sorry people. No matter, we've given every one of them a car, the Lord's led us to. You know, I'm thinking, you know, you just can't give people enough, you know, especially the ones that all they're looking for is a handout. I'm not saying that's the way our kids are, but I'm telling you, in perspective here, there's going to be those that just, that's all they're about is my needs met. Gimme, 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 gimme. But there's some rare few that are the ones are going to give. And you know what? They will never be in lack because you can't outgive God. When you live this way, you'll be like us, a 5,400 square foot house, it's full. I said, Lord, what's next, a hotel? he knows, or have to get rid of a bunch of stuff. So I'm always looking for someone, somebody that I can give stuff to. Matthew 8, that's the same story. We won't go there. Jesus had his priorities straight. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He had Father's business as his priority. He was also indisposed at times. This is Mark 6. This is what I was telling you a while ago. A lot of times the Lord's trying, he wants to do a miracle, and we're saying, no, I ain't got time, I'm too busy, or whatever, and we miss an opportunity. This is Mark 6:31. And he said unto them, come aside into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by boat secretly. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot out of all the cities, and went before them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw many people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, but not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about. In other words, get rid of these people. I'm so tired. I just need some rest. Go into the country round about into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said to them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said to them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fish. He commanded them to make all sit down in companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. The 2 fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and the fish. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So how many miracles maybe might we miss because we don't want to be indisposed? We've all done it. I'd be the first to admit. Oh, I had a tough week. I just need this time. But you know that you've been wanting, that you've been asking me for? Really? You know that you've been hounding me about? What about be a little indisposed? You might be glad you did. We all have our comfort zones and want to get there, but are we missing an opportunity for miracles when we do? Jesus didn't carry care, and I don't believe he said the Lord, wait a minute. Oh, Jesus didn't carry care, and I don't believe he said to the Lord, what about this, and what about this, what about this? I believe he listened to get instructions for the day. I believe he listened to the Lord about what? Not about, Lord, this is my list of petitions today, even though we are speaking over our nation, I do believe we're to do that, because that is the Master's business. But as far as personally, now we can ask for wisdom. Lord, I'm not sure what to do about this situation, but I give it to you and thank you for the wisdom and going about your business. What would you have me do today, Lord? People tried to get Jesus over into care. They tried to pull him over there too. Okay, care is a snare. Matthew 12. You know, he was a man. He had a flesh and blood body. He needed rest that day. He was probably hungry. They'd been out there for days, but so had he been out there for those days too. 12:46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood outside, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand outside, desiring to speak with thee. Well, we're family. You know, we rank higher than this bunch. We're family. I've heard that one too. But I'm your daughter. Who cares? That's what he was saying here. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So he's saying, those that are listening to my word and obeying my word, they're my mothers, my brothers, my sisters. Just because you're blood related, that holds no rank with me. He had to put them in their place. They kept trying to step out of place. Okay, Mark 3:35. It's just the same story. Okay, Luke 8. It may be in that one too. I bet it is. It's like, man, three witnesses here. Don't get me wrong. I love my family. But if they decide to go the other way, what can I do about it? Yeah, it's the same story. Family tried to pull him over into care. The people and his disciples tried to do it too. This is John 6. I've been told before, well, if you're, you know, you need to put yourself out there. I've been told that more than once. You need to put yourself out there. You're too secluded. They don't understand. This has been by divine design. The isolation's been by divine design. It's not because I'm a recluse. It's not because I don't enjoy going out and doing things. That's not what it's about. I can no more step out than I could step in before. John 6, 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on those who were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Okay, he's doing another miracle with the loaves. I wish I hadn't put all of that there. Just a minute. Oh, verse 15 is the key. After he did the miracle with the loaves and fishes, it says here, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So because of the miracles he was doing, they were going to try to take him by force and make him a king right there. That wasn't God's will. That's not why he came. Jesus would have none of that. Father's business was number one with him. Okay, John 14. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. So Jesus right there knew, talk a lot, sin a lot. This is where the care comes in. This is where the care bear snare comes in. We get to talking about all our stuff. All our stuff. Making all our, well, this and that and this and that and that and this, that and this. Before you know it, we've just vomited on somebody. Is that the way we're supposed to handle it? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. We've all fallen into that trap. It is a trap. Satan, he plays on your emotions. Before you know it, why did I say all of that? I know better than that. Sin a lot, talk a lot, sin a lot. Jesus knew he had to keep his mouth because the devil has no place in me. That's where we give him place. Tongue. Death and life, power of the tongue. The more we talk is probably a good indication of how much care we are actually in. Just listen to people talk. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're in the process of coming out of Egypt, a care-filled kingdom, into the homeland where there is only carefree. And God's asked us to bring as many along with us as we'll go. I get frustrated because you just don't see a lot of people saying the right things and being positive and upbeat. Just in general, you just don't. It's all bad mouthing, or it's all about my sorry butt husband that won't work, or my runaway kid that's just into drugs, and this is the norm. This is the way people talk. All right, remember the word, the prophecy last week. The language of the kingdom is praise and thanksgiving, no care bears loud. A place where already done and already yours is true. Here, nothing works, nothing's working, and never going to work, it's all going to be bad, we're all going to hell in a handbasket. But over here, everything is yes and amen. The Lord has already healed me. He's already given me provision. He's already given me wisdom. And we're kind of somewhere in between. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, and to the glory of God by us. All right, 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. When we are about the Father's business and have no care for ourselves, anything we might need or want are just added, the word says. Most have the cart before the horse. They think they have to give the Lord a full accounting every day, you know, to remind Him lest He forget. You know, He's old. The difference between Mary and Martha. Let's look at them. This is Luke 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So Martha was loaded with care bears, and Mary didn't have any care bears. And the Lord got on to the one that had the care bears. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everything He's got is yours. Think about the prodigal. God wants us to rest in His full provision, free from care. Hebrews 3 and 4 talks about the Israelites and how they didn't go in because they refused to enter into God's rest. And He cautions us to not get into that and not to do what they did. You can go read that this week. Here is where we must live to stay away from the care bear snare. Mark 4. Plant your seed. Go to bed. Get up. Don't take a care about the harvest. That's the way we're supposed to be. Say this. I am a carefree bear. I'm a carefree bear. Father's house is a carefree house. I don't have to ask Danny if he's paid the bills. I don't have to ask him. And you don't have to ask Father. You don't. He already knows. Isn't it great whenever you have something that you've kind of wanted to do and you haven't asked for it. You just kind of have it in the back of your mind, and then one day it just happens. Father granted that to you. He knew it was your desire. I had that happen to me yesterday. I woke up when Mama passed away. She had two sets of silver that just had a few pieces in it. I gave Jackie one set. I kept one set. And ever since she passed away, I kind of wanted to complete the set.
Yesterday morning I had it go do that today. I got on eBay and got the pieces to get kind of a 8-piece set to kind of complete what I had. That was not on my list to do. Lord said, well, I just want you to go do that. That's something you've been wanting to do. Just go do that. So I did. I'm thinking, well, thank you, Lord. It didn't cost near as much as I thought it would, because I thought it was, some of it was, it's solid silver, international silver. So, it's, the expensive. But I did it. I wasn't thinking about that. But the Lord, He knows what we desire. He's thinking about that. He's thinking, how can I just bless them today? What can I do for them today? When we're about His business, then that's what He thinks about you. Well, they take care of my business, I'm going to take care of their business. If there's something they want, I want them to have it. That's why I want you to have the best. He ain't no welfare runner. Give you the ragged clothes. No, go down to that fancy shop and get you something nice. That's kingdom thinking. The reason people get it all messed up is because faith people, that all they get their stuff for is for things, more things, better things, bigger things. No, faith is for the Master's business. So I've heard Kenneth Copeland say, I'll never apologize for the wealth and the things God has given me, because He's been a giver. He's been about the Master's business, and look what it's worth. He's been accused of being a charlatan because people don't understand. They don't understand how it is in Father's house. And they've been ensnared in the world. It's just a give me this, it's a leech. Okay. All right. Let's give the Father the credit that we at least give ourselves. I know He's going to pay the bills. I don't have to be concerned about it. He knows I'm going to do the laundry and do the groceries and, the things that I do. He knows. He doesn't have to come hound me about them. Right? Doesn't have to hound me about them. I don't have to hound Him about them. We don't have to hound the Father about it. Is He the shepherd? Okay, Matthew 7, be the last scripture. You just get automatic provision just being in Father's house. Go read the prodigal. When that brat kid that wasted all his living with prostitutes came home, what did he do? Ran to him, grabbed him, hugged him, put on the best robe, put the ring on his finger. Killed the fatted calf. And then old religious brother had a fit. Matthew 7. There we are going to see the difference between a care bear house and a carefree house. All right, 7. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? There's provision in Father's house. You think the king is going to let his kids go ragged? No, that's not his way. When we get about the business, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His way, and all these things will be given unto you. Okay.